I want to begin by giving you a greeting. Now, you may say he's going to say, Happy Christmas. But I'm not. I do wish you all a very happy Christmas, but I want to say to you this morning, a Happy New Year. Why should I say that? Well, traditionally, and there's nothing in the Bible about this, but traditionally, in the Christian church, Advent represents the start of a new church year. It's not vital, but we have order. And so I want to greet you, my sisters and brothers in the Gospel Chapel. I hope you have a very happy and blessed new year. So it's Advent, and we think we've already thought a bit of Advent calendars. Just a pity, isn't it, that like so many other things, we've already been reminded of that. Most Advent calendars now have nothing to do with Jesus at all. They've got chocolates on them. Well, that's good. I'm happy to have the occasional chocolate. But they're really there, Advent calendars, to remind us of Jesus and his coming. And the word Advent actually brings to mind what I have called the three tenses of Advent. I'm not going to give you an English lesson or even a Latin lesson. I couldn't do that if I wanted to. But Advent has three tenses. And the first one is, of course, the past tense, because Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Now, I don't know if you know this, and I haven't got the figures in front of me, but in the Old Testament, there are something like 200 plus prophecies which relate to the coming of Jesus. And the fact that they're all fulfilled in this historic event, the birth of Christ. The chances of those 200 plus prophecies coming together, I'm not a mathematician either, but are thousands and hundreds of thousands to one. But God is God. His word is sure. And for hundreds of years before he was born, it was prophesied. Over here, if I can read that now. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's a passage in Matthew, which in the text refers us to a prophecy about the coming of Jesus. Somebody once said, there is more evidence for the birth, death and resurrection of Jesus than there is for the coming of Julius Caesar to these shores. Now, I guess most of us believe our history books. We believe that Jesus came. We believe that Caesar came. But as somebody else said, the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the best attested fact of history. There is more written evidence about the coming of Jesus, about the birth of Jesus, about the life of Jesus, about the death of Jesus, than there is about Julius Caesar. If you ever get hold of a history book, and probably only in the library, by the Jewish historian Josephus. I'm not suggesting that on Tuesday morning you rush down to Frinton Library and get a copy of one of his books. But he was a contemporary of Jesus, and he records much about his life and death and resurrection, and indeed he even refers to the early church. He came, Jesus came, 2,000 years ago. Somebody called it the pivotal point of human history. The fulcrum of human history. Because up to the time of Jesus' birth, mankind was looking forward to that event. That event which would rescue men and women from their sin. And then ever since the birth, death and resurrection of Jesus, we've looked back to that central event in our history. Because it's the only means by which you and I can know the forgiveness of sin and the eternity, the joy of eternity. I don't know if any of you have seen the program, which has been on television now for several years, I gather, Repair Shop. But they often, there are two things about it. First, I must make a digression. Sandra Davison is the spitting image of the lady who does all the leather work. Next time, look at that program, and Sandra, it's just her. I don't know if she's any good at leather work, but they often talk about the generations because if it, things are brought in and they need to be restored, and when the craftsmen and craftswomen have done their work, the relatives come in and they say, "That's incredible." And they say, "I'm sure so-and-so is looking down and saying, thank you." Where do they get that from? Common culture seems to believe that one day we're all going to be up there and one day we're all going to be looking down. Scripture doesn't say that at all. What it does say is that Jesus came at a moment in history, the fulcrum of history, the pivotal point of human history. And at this time of the year, and as we come to Christmas, we thank God for Jesus. But there's also a present tense to Advent. The second Sunday in Advent used to be called Bible Sunday. And the powers that be thought, well, now it's too close to Christmas. It gets all mixed up with the festivities. We'll celebrate Bible Sunday earlier in the year. And I think it's officially now sometime in September. But Jesus comes to us every day through his word. He is the living word of God. And if you want to know what Jesus is saying to us today, one of the ways in which we do that is through reading God's word and letting the voice of Jesus, the living word, come through to us. He comes to us in the present. But he doesn't just come through his word. I prayed earlier about this lovely place in which we live. And I've heard of many people say they've walked down the greensward and whatever the weather, they look up and they see something of the glory of God. And Jesus speaks to them through their surroundings. We're very fortunate to live in such a lovely place. But Jesus speaks to us every day. He comes to us every day by the Holy Spirit. The function of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus real to us. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus. And again, I'm not a linguist, but I'm told it's a present continuous tense. So when the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, it's go on being filled. The trouble is that you and I leak. And so the writers of Scripture tell us to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may have had, when you were aware of this for the first time, when you were filled with the Spirit for the first time, you may have had a very intense experience. You may have spoken in a language you didn't understand. Different things may have happened to you. We all have different experiences of Jesus because we are individuals. But Jesus says, the Bible says to us, go on being filled with the Spirit of God every day, because we leak. A previous mentor of mine said, it's not just a passive experience. We don't just sit back and say, Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit and just hope that something happens. Yes, we need to read God's word, as we've already been reminded. But this friend of mine said we need to do three things. If we're to be filled with God's Spirit, we need to obey God and to submit to his rule. We must daily turn from sin and depend on his power. We must give ourselves to the service of Jesus. Jesus is alive today. Jesus comes to us afresh today. With that lovely carol, oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. So Jesus came. Jesus comes through his word and by the Holy Spirit. And one day he's coming again. There's a future tense to Advent. Can I read these verses from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50? Paul says this. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But this is it. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in the, later on in terms of the order in scripture, in his letter to Thessalonians, Paul talks about the second coming of Jesus. And he talks about the fact that all who have died, all who are asleep in Christ, well, he will bring them with him and we'll be caught up into heaven. And that's going to be an amazing experience. Some people worry about what to do, what their arrangement should be when they die. Should they be buried? Should they be cremated? It doesn't matter. Sisters and brothers, we are going to be given a resurrection body. And the resurrection of Jesus gives us a picture of that. His body was raised imperishable. And when Jesus comes again, we will be raised imperishable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes. So Jesus is coming again. And there have been, in every period of history, as far as I can see, there have been those who've said, he's coming soon. And there have been those who've reminded us that, yes, he's coming. And almost he's coming tomorrow. The Bible doesn't tell us when he's coming. It tells us that certain events must happen before he comes. But he is going to come, and only the time of that event is known to God the Father and now to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But he is coming. And the Apostle Peter says the only reason he's been delayed is that he wants all men and women to be saved. So it's our responsibility to share the good news of Jesus. A friend of mine once said again that when we die, it's not the end. For those who believe and trust in Jesus, death is not the end, but the gateway into God's eternal presence. Hallelujah. What a saviour. So Jesus came. Jesus comes to us every day. And one day he's coming again. Let's take this season of the year, the responsibility, as Jesus commanded us, to share that good news with those around us. Again, a friend of mine once said, the way to share the good news of Jesus is to tell his story, history, but also to tell my story and to relate the two together. You've got a neighbour or a friend, a member of your family that you're praying for? Pray that God will give you the opportunity this season of the year to share the good news of Jesus. So he came. He comes. He's coming again. Hallelujah. What a saviour.